This is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts.
Those who have given their lives in the armed services are honoured every November the 11th, which was the day in 1918 that the armistice was signed, ending the First World War. Around the country and the world, others gather around war memorials in cities, towns and villages to remember the dead in festivals of remembrance. Whilst remembrance is focused on a few days in November, there are those who make sure that the dead are never forgotten. The Commonwealth War Graves Commission was established by Royal Charter in 1917. Today it tends the graves of and memorials to 1,700,000 Commonwealth service personnel who died and are buried in 2,500 cemeteries or plots in 150 countries around the world. The buried dead are commemorated in numbers by memorial structure or individually by a simple, elegant headstone, which is the same size and shape, irrespective of the person's rank. Their name and service details, if these are known, and a religious symbol and an inscription can be included if it is requested. The Royal British Legion looks after servicemen and women and their surviving relatives. Their charitable work is supported by donations, most notably the Poppy Appeal. These are just two of the many organisations that are working every day for the survivors of war and their families. The Royal Air Force Museum has launched an exhibition entitled Lest We Forget, which commemorates the end of the First World War and the 90th anniversary of the founding of the Royal Air Force. The exhibition highlights just some of the hundreds of organisations that work with ex-servicemen and women and their families. It also explores the theme of remembrance and its importance to people today. Ellen Soule, lead pathfinder of the RAF Museum, describes the exhibition.
The Lest We Forget exhibition is designed to show people some of the support and services that are on offer to families who lose loved ones who are serving in the armed forces. It looks at the First World War, the Second World War, right up to modern day. At the bottom of each of the panels, there are some paper bricks to make up a wall of remembrance. We're encouraging visitors to write a message, a personal message, on these bricks. It could be someone in their family who has died during a war, or a general message just to all people who may have lost their lives, or just what remembrance means to them. There's a certain aspect of community feeling within remembrance. There's a certain aspect of communities within the whole experience of remembrance, and that is why we have the bricks for the visitors to fill in. We want the visitors to contribute to the exhibition, to make it more personal and to get across any feelings that they may have.
During the exhibition's opening on October 30th, we asked people to explain what remembrance means to them. At 112 years old, Henry Allingham is the oldest man in Britain. He served in the Royal Flying Corps in the First World War. The museum was honoured to have him as a guest at the opening of Lest We Forget, where he spoke movingly about what remembrance means to him.
It means a lot. Very, very much. And a lot of it I cannot tell you. I'd rather a man talks about it, as you said. I don't think people really realise what those men suffered, the way they gave up everything for whose behalf, mine, yours, each and every one of you here. And that's what remembrance something means to me, those men who've gone. What did they get? My brother, poor devil, was suffering. Not just a few. Even if they came back from the war, they still suffered. They suffered. Oh, I'm sitting there, age. Battle scar, what was it?
Yes, yes, battle fatigue.
That's right. That's terrible. You see them in the streets, so the cars are back by. But they have it. Everyone does has been in war. And people who didn't know would laugh at them. and made me feel very nasty. But they educated the sense. There's another war. I hope there never will be. Nobody wins that war. It will not be fought with guns and shells and bullets. No. Everybody will be in that war. Little babies at birth or wherever. And nobody wins that war. That war will be fought with food. You can't go on without food. And I make this world, you won't be very great. So you won't go on. You just tell Hiroshima, 20 pounds, that's all. They got them. You know, today. Well, that was a Hiroshima. I'm still dying from it. That was 80 years ago. Everyone knows the next time nobody wins a war.
Got another question.
Half the world has been destroyed.
Just that.
Seconds.
Okay, well done, Henry.
Doug Radcliffe is Secretary of the Bomber Command Association and served in Bomber Command during the Second World War on Wellington Bombers.
Tim, it really means to me any sort of anniversary or a day of remembrance means to me two young chaps that I flew with are buried in Germany and I'm here. And you can only, it's nothing to do with skill, it's just to do with Lady Luck. And that is always the day of remembrance for me. Those two boys, 22, 21, pilot, rear gunner, both buried in Germany.
The Mayor of Barnet and two members of the Missing Research and Inquiry Service describe the sadness of losing relatives in wartime.
Well, I think what we have to remember is the principles for which people were fighting and the sacrifice they were willing to make. The fact that one member in four of Bomber Command didn't return meant that every night those who went out on Bomber Command missions knew they might not come back. That required huge courage. And I will always remember a kid at school who never knew his father. His father was one of those who died in the first months of the war. I think we must always remember not only the people who died, but the relatives who suffered the loss of a father or a husband or a son, because for some of them it was a great sacrifice as well. Because this guy, he never had a father, and I think that for a young boy was a great loss.
Yes, I would like to say my brother, who was a year and 11 months older than me, and he was flying with 235 Squadron out of Dyce in Scotland, and it was on December the 27th, 1941, they were doing a raid on the Buxo Islands, where the Germans had been putting in fish tanks a large quantity of heavy water, which they intended to convert into atomic bombs. And my brother flew off with 17 other aircraft, and I regret to say that all 17 aircraft were shot down. And my brother, now he's buried in the military cemetery in Trondheim. But I miss him because he was a very dear brother. I loved him. He was the best brother one could have wished for. And I think of him every day. And now he died on his first operation out of Dyce. And then that's the sadness about war.
St Clement Danes Church in the Strand in London was badly damaged in 1941 and was rebuilt by the Royal Air Force. It is a central church of the Royal Air Force. From St Clement Danes Church, Isabella Priebeliska.
We remember those who fell during the war and before the Second World War, and since then. Every day of the week, we've got all the names commemorated in the books of remembrance. So one day in the year, it's national, but for us, it's every day.
At the opening of the exhibition, the museum's director of collections, Air Vice Marshal Peter Dye, spoke of the importance of remembrance to the history of the Royal Air Force, and Wing Commander Andy Green described its importance to the Royal Air Force today.
Of course, remembrance is something very personal, as well as something for the nation to ponder on. And I was privileged 2 weeks ago today to represent the Royal Air Force at the burial of Sergeant John Bremner, a flight engineer of No. 102 Squadron, who was shot down in a Halifax 2 over Berlin in January 1944. It was important that we were able to bury John Bremner with appropriate ceremony, but also with the respect that his sacrifice deserved, and much more importantly, perhaps, to show our respect for his family and friends. And it's the effect of war, the impact of war, which remembrance also seeks to understand and record. I met his elder sister. For her, all she recalled was of her younger brother going to war, never to return. No known grave, one of the 20,000 aircrew whose names are on the monument at Runnymede. For her, this was an opportunity to draw a line under a very painful memory, under a deep grief for the family. Her mother, indeed, had gone to her grave, never believing that her youngest child had died. So for that family, the ability to grieve and to remember their son was hugely important. But I also met the children of two other members of that crew who'd never known their fathers, a son and a daughter. It was their first opportunity to visit the grave of their father. And for them, it was, as you can imagine, a deeply emotional occasion. Now, museums are full of artifacts, as you can see. But actually, it's a human story that's so important. The artifacts are a means to understanding what war has meant and what war means to the people who are involved in it. And therefore, I think it's very fitting that we have in this exhibition an opportunity to understand the personal impact, what war has meant to individuals, to families, to friends and to comrades. And of course, it's a sacrifice, a pain that continues to be felt to this day. And this also, therefore, gives me an opportunity to thank those organisations and individuals who have done so much in dealing with the aftermath of war, helping families cope with the loss of a loved one, helping those who have survived in one sense but who've been damaged by war in another. And therefore, the Royal Air Force Association, the Benevolent Fund, the War Widows Association, the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. There are a host of organisations, most of whom I hope we have recognised in the exhibition here, who day in and day out support our servicemen and servicewomen, who deal with the aftermath of war. And that's something, again, that I think we need individually and as a society to reflect upon. And, if I could ask Wing Commander Andy Green to say a few words. Andy, over to you.
And Marshal, thank you very much. I'll only take a couple of minutes of your time, but I'd like to say just a little bit about the Royal Air Force and a little bit about remembrance. Firstly, the Royal Air Force. We're a slightly odd organisation. Very young, we've just celebrated our 90th anniversary, based on the application of military air power. Now, of course, air power in this country, aviation in this country, is only just 100 years old. And two things about our application of air power, two different characteristics it gives us. The first is our attitude to risk. Because flying military combat aviation power, any kind of military aircraft, involves a degree of risk, peace and war. The very first flight 100 years ago was Samuel Cody from Laffan's plane at Farnborough. 5 years after that first flight, Samuel Cody sadly was killed demonstrating yet another aeroplane. That risk has always been there all the way through aviation. The other very different thing about the way the Royal Air Force does its business is traditionally all of the troops stay at home and they send the officers to war. Completely the opposite to most military organisations. As a result of which, 10 years after that first record-breaking flight when the Royal Air Force was formed, we'd lost 15,000 aviators over Central Europe in World War I, rising to 120,000 losses during World War II. Incredible numbers. particularly the losses in World War II, the single most dangerous thing any person serving in any branch of the military during the Second World War could do was be a member of Bomber Command. About a 1 in 4 chance of surviving your tour. 55,000 people were lost from Bomber Command. That means particularly, it's very significant to me, in 1942, my father lied about his age, joined the Royal Air Force and was posted to Halifax's and spent 3 years flying for Bomber Command. So statistically, was very lucky to survive the Second World War, and statistically, I'm very lucky to be here. And since then, we've had very much that relationship until recently. Suddenly, it's not about sending the officers to war anymore, or indeed, in my dad's case, sergeant pilots. All of a sudden, we go together. The threat is not German anti-aircraft fire or even Iraqi surface-to-air missiles, or for that matter, Bosnian surface-to-air missiles, which was the first time I got fired at, and I still remember it. Suddenly, we all go together. The threat is now mortar fire over at the fence line or the roadside bomb, and we all share in that risk, and our people out in theatre today are still sharing that risk. But the remembrance element of why they're there, why people before them have been there, and why they've had to take that risk is very, very important. 3 years ago this week, I was out in Afghanistan. I was commanding the Royal Air Force detachment in Kandahar. Furiously enthusiastic and furiously hard-working group of people. This was just at the start of what is now an enormous UK build-up. The first elements were just coming in. We were resourced and manned to look after 180 people and 6 Harriers. We had, including the planning team and the Royal Engineers, 430 out there. So there was a degree of tension. We didn't have enough of anything, including bed spaces or postal services, but we coped. More importantly, next week, 3 years ago, we had a remembrance service out there with our coalition partners. Two things I remember about that. The first of which was that every single member of my detachment not only turned up, but wanted to turn up. One of them actually was not fit to be there, so she avoided going to the doctor because she knew what he'd say. She went to the doctor afterwards and turned herself in sick with an apology for going on parade for 2 hours. Because she said, and I spoke to her afterwards, it was too important to her not to. And the other really telling thing, I was fortunate enough also to turn up to one of the coalition celebrations, or remembrance ceremonies that day, the Romanians. There was a Romanian regiment out there. Now, the Romanians, the 11th of November 1918 means nothing to Romania. They traditionally have fought on the wrong side. They're trying to forget about all of their military past, Second World War and previously. But their first and still biggest combat detachment post-Second World War is in Afghanistan. They are tremendously proud of the job they're doing out there. It just so happens that their first post-Second World War casualties occurred on the 11th of November, 6 years ago. They still remember those. Those guys are not just military heroes. In Romania, they are national heroes. All three of them, every member of that regiment out there knows their names. There's a picture of each one of them on the wall of the chapel out there. It is that important to them. We cannot possibly hope to remember the names of 15,000 people we lost in the First World War, 120,000 in the Second World War. Each one of them is still just as important as those three Romanians. And that was a reminder to me that we always need to remember just how important each one of those sacrifices are. Next week, we will have the ceremony at the Cenotaph. Absolutely delighted that Henry Allingham will be presenting the Royal Air Force wreath, assisted by Flight Lieutenant Helen Goodman, my apologies, Flight Lieutenant Michelle Goodman, who is, of course, the first female winner of the Distinguished Flying Cross. I could not think of two better people to represent my service. A young lady who's just achieved something remarkable and a man who has been in the Royal Air Force forever. But as to this display, next week, while those wreaths are being laid, men and women of the services and the Royal Air Force in particular will be having remembrance services all over the world in operational theatres, sharing that risk and remembering why the risk of people going before them and why they are taking that. It means a great deal to us as a service. It means a great deal to us as well that this display here allows everybody else to understand some of that and to share in it. That is, from my point of view, from my services point of view, very important to us. So thank you all very much for coming along to support this display, to understand the values, what we represent, and what we are here to remember. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.